Hello, this is Madeline St. Romain of the Citadel team, and
this is Jim Grimsley of the Citadel team, and
hello, this is Jeff from the Citadel team,
and you are listening to the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Someone get me a tankard! This is going to get good!
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, I'm Trey, a.k.a. Azurkan Zelo, and I have my pet bird with me tonight.
And I am Skunkeen, a.k.a. Sacrificial Skunk. And you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
What did you sacrifice?
Bird. I'm waiting for it to be left alone with yours.
Hey, and this is episode 71. Welcome to the show, Skunko.
Welcome to the show, Trey. Hello, Polly. Oh, that bird sounds so delicious.
Don't eat my bird. Back, you cat.
Today we have an interview with the Citadel team, the AME winners for the Best Adventure Module.
And also they won for Most Replayable Module for 2007. That would be NWN1 Awards, Golden Dragon Awards. So stay tuned for that. We'll have that later in the show. So what you been up to lately, Skunk?
NWC Con 4. Lots of it.
You've been a little busy beaver on that, haven't you?
Oh, yes. I've been contacting a bunch of different news sites. I don't know if I should discuss this, but to my disappointment, one of these websites that will remain nameless, I sent them news about NWCCon, and I believe their reply was a little editorial page on why your RPG fails.
What?
Yes, and it had a lot to say about Neverwinter Nights 2. And a lot of it, I ended up responding to this editorial, and I really shouldn't have, because his previous editorial before that one was how to get people to come to your editorials, and it had filled with all this stuff of, chastise this and that, or exaggerate, saying that, you know, this is better than Jesus walking on water. He says that, all right, you know, or say things, you know, like this sucks the pot, so this sucks the pus out of a zombie's testes, you know, and so I kind of had a weird feeling that, you know, this guy was just trash, but I responded anyways, you know, and honestly, I gave my honest opinion about Neverwinter Nights 2 being a lot different than what he said, because as far as buggy goes, I couldn't play Neverwinter Nights 2 until I bought Mask of Betrayer and the patch. And now I played through the OC flawlessly. And I'm in the middle of Act 2 I think I'm in the middle of it, but I've had no problems whatsoever playing this game.
I've never had problems with it from the beginning of the OC.
Oh, yeah? Well, when I first bought the game, back when Neverwinter Nights 2 was released, I could not play it, and I met the requirements for it.
Oh, really? So,
yeah, a lot's been changed, and they've said so in the patches. And I've known a few people that still have the game, and they haven't gone back because they were disgruntled with the bugs, but check it again. It plays. It works.
Yeah, I've had the same computer that I had when I loaded up NWN1, and then when NWN2 came out, which was at exactly the same time that our podcast started. I've never had any problems running it.
Yeah, I did. But all is well now, and I'm happy. And now I'm devouring souls in Mask of Betrayer.
Yeah, I've been cheating when it comes to that part.
Oh, yeah, I'm at that spirit bar thing. And I'm trying.
I've reset it 3 times now.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm at like 70... some percent right now.
I just can't figure it out, I guess. I just guess I don't have the patience.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I could deal with it. It's sort of like having hypoglycemia, where you turn into a madman if you do not eat food in the morning. So.
Right. Well, I will come across, you know, spirits that I supposedly can eat, right, to make your bar go back up, right?
I haven't found any yet.
Well, eventually you will.
I'm at a part where you're ripping out the innards of some sort of golem. Not to give much of a story spoiler there, but...
Well, I'm in the Skeen, which is underneath the... is in the Sunken City, is where I'm at right now.
Heard about that. I've not reached...
I actually had to go look at a walkthrough to figure out how to get out.
You know what? I was thinking of, while I was playing this game, up to this point, a lot of people were talking about, within the story, about the time of troubles within the Forgotten Realms. And I'm not sure if much of the game details about the times of troubles happening in the Forgotten Realms. This was when the deities ended up coming down to Faerun, and they all had like a duke them out war with each other. They were like mortals. There's like a couple of books on that. So if you ever look up Forgotten Realms novels, look up the Times of Troubles books. There's like five of them. Well, there's three, but then there's two more that continue on. I'm ranting.
That's okay. Hey, speaking of some stuff that we did recently, Skunk and myself and Dave, we got on to one of Dave's private servers, and we tested out some new shields for that Vault Outfitters contest, didn't we?
They were pretty beautiful shields, and we cannot talk about them too much story-wise. Read the story. I dig the stories on them.
Right. Too bad there wasn't more of them, though, to judge, though.
Yes, and that's why I'm thinking about stepping down as a judge next month. I want to win one of those game codes.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yep, y'all won't know who I am.
Okay.
So
it'll just be me and Dave. Maybe we'll get Michelle to join us next time.
Well, there's a couple other judges, too.
Well, that's true. Well, no, I meant... Well, we're judging as the Neverwinter Nights podcast. That's the way I understood it.
I won't break your heart that I try to anonymously submit something and not be a judge, huh? Just for 1 month.
I'll just cry for a little bit. Okay, enough about us. On to the news. We announced it last episode, but I thought we'd announce it again. The Academy for Modeling Excellence. They have set their dates for the Academy of Modeling Excellence 2007 Golden Dragon Award winner IRC chats. And when you listen to this, which will come out on Friday the 12th, the next day on the 13th at 9 a.m. Pacific time, they will hold the first one for NWN2 on live.neverwinterconnections.com and join into the Pound AME room for that. And then the next Saturday after that on the 20th, same time, they will hold another chat for NWN1 winners. You going to try to join that, Skunk?
Yes, I am.
Even though we're not winners?
Yes.
We're almost winners.
You're a winner to me.
Oh, thank you.
You're number one.
Okay, so, hey, game events. A lot of events coming up in the NWN Con 4.
Yes, check it out, folks. We're going to include the link to the show notes. Call off work, lock your children in the basement, and get on your computer for those days.
Speaking of that, the other night I decided to go ahead and submit the NWN podcast sponsored events. We're going to hold some what we're going to call open mic events. What we're going to do is we're going to open up some Skype conference rooms, kind of very similar to an IRC chat room, except you can actually be heard. So if you have a microphone or a headset with a mic, stop in and participate. We're going to do one on the 26th at 11 p.m. Central Time. Y'all can figure out whatever time that is, your time. And we're going to call this one Role Playing Neverwinter Nights. Come voice your characters. So in this session, we thought it'd be cool if y'all want to stop by and talk about role playing, maybe share some exciting stories that you've done in the past when you were role-playing on a persistent world or in a mod. Or you can get in character and give voice to your favorite character. So It's going to be an open mic, probably lasts for about an hour if anybody shows up, and might be fun.
Yeah, until somebody starts talking about the Wintersnaven.
Okay.
You know of the Wintersnaven?
Yes, I do.
Oh, it's glorious, the Wintersnaven. It's such a wonderful thing. They're invisible, don't you know?
So are you going to do that? You going to voice that character?
No, but you might. I could, like, pre-record some, like, screams and,
okay,
like, rips and sound like I got a hold of his arse.
Hey, be ready with some applause and stuff, too.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. So we can add some. We'll kind of lurk and add in sound effects as you're talking. Then on the 27th, the second day of the con, at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, we're going to have event number 2, and we're going to call it NWN2 Gaming. We're going to open up the mic, and hopefully some people will stop by and tell us about their favorite NWN2 or expansion game, gaming stories. Talk about your favorite game, or your favorite mod, or your persistent world. And then for the third event on September 28th at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, we're going to open up the same kind of session, but for NWN1 this time. So come by and talk about your favorite NWN1 game stories or expansion stories. So any of the premium mods, any of your favorite custom mods, anything, your persistent worlds, please stop by. So hopefully that'll be some fun. Maybe we can record some of that and include it in some shows.
Yes, and you know what something that might possibly excite people for showing up for that is?
What's that?
Michelle is returning to the schedule full-time to the show here soon.
Yes, she's returning to the schedule. Yippers.
Yep.
I think she's all moved into her new house and ready to come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did say we could schedule those over on NWNC, just like a game. So I'm going to be doing that this week.
Yep.
So watch for those.
Now, actually, that's pretty much what anybody has to do if they want to showcase their talents for NWC Con 4.
Okay.
Just put in the title heading NWC Con 4, and then myself and the other organizers, we collect the schedule links, and we put them up on the list of events for the NWC Con 4.
Okay, cool. I'll try to get that done.
Well, we also need some, you know, more custom content creators to showcase their works, and even scripters to show off their systems. All you gotta do.
Experter.
Yeah, he's already participating. He's gonna join in on an IRC chat, I believe. But if you got systems on the vault and you'd like to showcase them off, you know, host up them, put it in a module, host up a server, and schedule the time frame where you'll be there to show it off for people in game, and they'll connect to your server and talk to you about your systems and show them around, show them what the systems do. You might even get some fascinating input and make some new friends at the NWC Con 4.
Anything else in the news?
Well, there's that goblin shark.
Yeah, where'd you find that?
It's been on YouTube. Now, with Neverwinter Nights 1, the Goblin Shark was introduced into the game from the patch from Pirates of the Sword Coast. But when it was included with the patch, we got Goblin Sharks there, the sharks with the long beak. Well, I guess these fellows are so rare, and yet they're not listed on the Endangered Species Link list. And, these critters, they comb the surface of the floors of the waters. So that's why they're so uncommonly seen. Now, looking at this video,
someone actually found a live one and videoed it.
Did you watch the video?
Yeah, I did.
You see that guy just letting that thing just bite onto his arm?
Yeah.
Isn't that just crazy? Like, this tickles. I would be trying to gore that thing's eyeballs out or panicking, like, ah!
He obviously wasn't too scared of it.
No. I don't care how harmless its teeth are. Look at that thing.
Well, when you sent this to me, I was going like, okay, what does this got to do with Neverwinter Nights? And then I remembered, oh, yeah, that's a monster. And then I also remembered that, if y'all remember several, three or four episodes ago, Jay and I were playing on Noctor's Noble Realm. Actually, when we got on this one, you could walk over to the docks and you could go underwater.
Hmm.
You had to put on a diving helmet. And so we went underwater, and I remember there were goblin sharks down there. And they hurt. They actually killed me once.
I kill players with those too. I don't like to. I hate sharks.
Do you hate sharks?
Yeah, I hate sharks.
Okay, real quickly, some podcast updates before we get on to the main interview. Michelle, a.k.a. Liso, is returning to the schedule.
I want to rock and roll with you, mama.
And, yeah, so they finished moving into their new house, and they got all moved over into some other state 900 miles away from wherever they were before. And so I think she's ready to return to the show.
Yeah.
And also, Rowanin, and I don't know if he did this before or after the last episode, he donated $20 more.
Who?
Rowanin.
Oh, Rowanin?
Yeah, you remember that Rowanin guy?
Yeah, Rowanin's.
You know, awesome. The one that the Cobalt Boys sang about? And also, since the last episode, or maybe right before it, actually, I think we forgot to mention it in the last episode, he posted some pictures of himself wearing one of our podcasting barbecue aprons and holding in one of our large mugs that you can get off of our Cafe Press store. So go check that out.
Filled with blood. With some ice cubes.
That's kind of what it looked like, but he said no, that was, what did he say it was?
It was filled with blood.
I can't remember what he said it was. He goes, it was juice or something, I don't know.
No, it's blood and ice cubes.
That's what it looked like. And now, for your listening pleasure, we have an interview that Ty Bay from the Academy of Modding Excellence and myself did with the Citadel team. Jim Grimsley, Madeline St. Romain, otherwise known as Maddie Ann, and Jeff Tyson. They recently won the Best Adventure Golden Dragon Award for 2007, and also they won the Most Replayable Module of 2007. So Citadel won two awards, and so sit back and enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show this week. We have Madeline St. Romain, Jeff Tyson, and Jim Grimsley. They are the development team for the award-winning Citadel project. The Citadel is an NWN1 epic city adventure set in a mountain in the north of Faerun that has been twisted partly into other planes, and recently won two Golden Dragon Awards for 2007 for Best Adventure Module and Most Replayable Module. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we also have joining us from the AME, Tyler, a.k.a. Ty Bay. Welcome to the show again, Ty Bay.
Yeah, it's always nice to be here, Trey.
So why don't we start out and let each of you introduce yourselves to the listeners. And Maddie, why don't you go first, ladies first?
Hi, I'm Madeline St. Romain. I'm a member of the Citadel team. I've been working on Citadel since Jim called me in a few months after he started it. And I'm sort of a visual person, and that's kind of my focus as far as the module is concerned.
I'm Jeff. I'm an art rocker from Atlanta. I'm with a couple of music projects, Z-Axis and Uthant, U-T-H-A-N-T, which are represented on MySpace if you want to listen to some of that. I mainly godfathered the music. Although I didn't assign music to specific areas, I created most of it, but I had some very important help from Madeline and from Jim.
Cool. Welcome. And Jim?
My name is Jim Grimsley. I am the person who started the Citadel mod and then pulled all these other folks into it. I'm a writer, a novelist, and a playwright from Atlanta. I also teach writing at Emory University. And I've been playing Neverwinter Nights. Actually, I've been playing Bioware games ever since Baldur's Gate 1, which I played about 50 times, I think.
Wow.
I was really addicted to that game. I couldn't believe it.
So once again, welcome to the show, everyone. And Taibei, why don't you take it from here?
Alrighty. So we'll start with the first question here. Or what do you guys think about the Golden Dragon Award that you won, your double win? And how did you discover that you won?
We were picking up the site every 5 minutes that day to figure out whether we won or not. That's how we found out.
Well, actually, that's not how I found out myself personally. I found out because someone who's asking the question messaged me and said, "Have you checked out the site?" And then I found out.
Yep, that was me. Guilty as charged.
Well, I was in Mexico at the time, and I was staying on the site as much as I could. It wasn't that easy to do because the internet in my hotel wasn't that good. But I did happen to get on that day and saw it, and I thought, well, cool.
That's great. Now, what really brought you three together, or how did you, Jim, how did you select Maddie and Jeff for the job?
Well, we've been friends for decades now. We played in a rock and roll band something like 20 years ago together. So it was a very natural thing and we had started playing these games together before we actually started building stuff. So I gave Maddie and Jeff their first copy of Neverwinter Nights. I think Jeff would like to kill me for it at this point. Because it does eat your time, but once you start building these things. But We started building, and then suddenly Citadel came along, and Maddie started helping me with it, and then she got more and more involved with it pretty quickly, and we started doing it. We went from thinking that she was helping me on it to thinking we were doing it together. It was kind of that evolution. Then Jeff got interested in doing the music for it, and that's basically how it all evolved.
Getting a hold of GarageBand was a major factor, because yes. It meant that we could do pretty much whatever Jeff could figure out how to do, which was great.
Yeah, it was incredible. Of course, we had to learn everything. I hadn't scripted a thing before I started mod building on Citadel. I mean, I didn't start with anything smaller. And I had no idea the scale of the thing that I was actually getting myself into. I kept thinking, well, God, what else am I going to have to figure out how to do? And of course, the next day, I'd know.
So you like starting out big, huh?
Yeah. I always
am. Hey,
that's actually a good segue into the next question.
Yeah, indeed. The Citadel Adventure, it's just absolutely massive, and it seems, you know, it's one of the largest that are on the vault. How long did it take you guys to create what you have at this point?
Alan says 4 years. I think that's about right. I'll usually say something like 3, but I tend to be fudgy about time. So I think between 3 and 4 years is right. It was, I had no idea that it was one of the largest on the vault. It's to think that the three of us did it, it's just astonishing to me because there's so much stuff in it. There's almost nothing out of the BioWare package. In the game, we replaced nearly all of it with custom content, thanks to Maddie.
Wow.
That is quite an undertaking.
Yeah.
It was awfully hard to stop once we started, really. I myself could just use the computer for doing my email when I first opened the tool set, really. And plunging into it was a massive learning experience, but I really enjoyed it, so I'm very glad of it.
I had actually never seen Madeline use a mouse until she was using the Neverwinter Nights tool set. I was completely astonished. She was clicking with one hand and keyboarding with the other. I mean, it went from almost nothing to doing more than I could do with the tool set. Way more.
Well, I'm a left-hand mouser, and a right-handed person. It kind of frees up the space, I guess. I don't know.
That's good. There's nothing to be embarrassed about.
for those who have not played your module, could maybe one of you give us a synopsis or preview of the plot without giving away any spoilers or anything, of course, just so everybody knows exactly what the Citadel is about and what the, you know, maybe the little bit of the backstory.
Sure. Citadel is the story of a city that's under siege by several different armies. It's been at war for a very long time. It's a city that takes in outcasts and refugees from other places. And when you arrive as an outcast from Faerun, you are engulfed at once in the city's conflict. Everybody in the city is required to be trained to defend the city because the city's at war all the time. What you gradually learn as you progress through your training is that the city is actually near the end of the war, and that you're going to be one of the people that helps to fight it and to end it. And I think that's that doesn't give away a whole lot of spoilers. I can talk some about the city, or Madeline can talk about it if she wants to, about how it's set up and how it works, because she knows as much about that as I do.
One of the things that is important is that it is a very high magic, high combat module. Citadel is amazing. It's very high magic, and it's run on magic. It's made of all different places from all over the planes, all held together by planar mages and by complicated magics. So the amount of the level of equipment that you come across is very high, but the foes that you're going to fight have the same stuff, and they fight hard. So that's something to be aware of when you're about to play.
Yeah, the combat curve is very different. It's very much, it goes up much more steeply. You're going to get feats earlier. You're going to get equipment with powerful stuff on them earlier. So it'll throw you off just a little bit if you've played other mods and you expect it to be the same sort of curve of leveling up in combat. It's not that we invented anything, we were wacky, we did things differently than we should have, and we ended up with a good effect, so there we are.
People who don't buy gear when it's available end up being sorry a lot of the time.
Yes. Now, you guys are still in development on the module, and you guys are still creating the evil path. And can you, kind of give us a little foresight into what that path entails?
What will happen is the PC will go, rather than go into the city as a citizen, will go into the village where all of the enemy armies are encamped, and he will serve the armies that are trying to get into the city, which will mean infiltrating the city. It's taking a while to do, because what I'm having to do is stop at every stage to figure out how to make the story as varied as possible from the other stuff. People have been playing the good and neutral paths long enough that I want there to be some variety, as if this were an expansion pack, almost. I want there to be a feeling that there is a brand new story being told from that side that complements the story on the good and neutral side, and that's taking some time. But we're actually making good progress over the last 2 weeks, so I think we're going to be done within a month or 6 weeks or something like that. It's just a matter of writing, because most of the stuff is built now.
So it's just pretty much in beta right now then?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Do y'all have an approximate time when you think it's going to be out?
I'm hoping by the 1st of October.
It would be nice to have it for a Halloween present for people, I think.
We'd like it out of our lives, finally.
Yes.
I love doing it, but we would like to have it out of our lives now.
Yeah, because, I'm really looking forward to that.
It'll never be entirely out of our lives, of course, because just maintaining the web, the vault page is a job. We've got almost 5,000 posts now in this few months that the mod's been up. So it's a busy little bunch of people playing. And we've got two or three people that just play over and over and over again, which is really kind of cool.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And they're very helpful, which is great. We've gotten a lot of help from players' feedback and players helping other players, which is much appreciated.
Yeah, I think I'm on my third go-through right now. I probably haven't played it more times just because of, you know, all the other stuff I've had to do.
But, well, I still enjoy playing it when I play it. It's got enough variety in it that I've still got so many ideas. I'll probably go and tinker with this thing for a long time. Somebody gave me an idea for a promiscuous path through the city that I'd love to try to work on. nothing with explicit sex animations, but just sort of, if you don't want to have a romance, couldn't you just be a sleaze bag? Nobody's ever really done that. So it'd be fun to work on some stuff like that after we get the evil path done.
Yeah, that definitely sounds interesting. So what kind of challenges did you guys face during the development of the module? Something that was this massive?
Everything technical was a challenge. Until I found Lisa's script generator, I couldn't get a script to work. After I got the script generator, I could start to build a module. And it just sort of built from that. When I needed to figure out how to get somebody through a door portal, I would spend an evening doing that. When I needed to figure out how to make an encounter do a certain thing, I would spend an evening doing that. So all of the... And the problem was, honestly, that the thing was so big that we kept having to go back and redo the whole thing when we discovered we'd done something wrong. Madeline's been through the creature list about 100 times now.
It's really true, especially after we added Tony K's pack. It was like, oh, great, now everyone's using everything they can do, and some of it maybe they shouldn't be using anymore. And Lilac Soul has been great. It's so helpful for people that have no idea what they're doing. Although Jim's learned a whole lot since he started. I mean, he can look at scripts now and understand them, which I'm kind of not so good at yet. Trying to figure out.
I said Lisa's script generator, Lilac Soul. I'm always doing that. But that's the most beautiful little thing. We all should just send that man $100.
Or flowers or something.
do you guys use the lexicon as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
We've used every tool that's out there because we've had to really dig. We did some fairly complicated stuff at the end. Nothing like what the real scripters do, but for us it was pretty sophisticated and we really had to dig in and find out how to do some stuff. I would like to study the scripting and get a little better at it, but honestly, what we need on our team is more help from somebody who knows the scripting. And that's what, if we go on building, we'll probably try to incorporate somebody a little more closely that way. Craig's been a great help, Gallup's been a great help, so, you know. But we probably need somebody more involved with the team next time. I mean, him or somebody else.
So what made you three decide on the Forgotten Realms setting?
I liked the notion of trying to figure out how to say where all the gay people in Faerun had gone. So that's why I clung to it. Because, you know, there's this obstinate sort of, there's not going to be anything gay in any of that world. And it always sort of ticks me off. So I thought, well, all the gay people went up here, and that's going to be my myth about it from now on. So that's why we could easily have dispensed with the whole world. So we kept it mostly for that reason, and partly because so many people play out of it that they could at least feel like they were stepping out of a familiar world into our world. So those two reasons are probably the best.
Citadel itself is our world. It's basically... It is a multiplanar place, so the module doesn't exactly stay in Faerun. It just starts there, and your character is from there. Faerun has got so much mythology and lore and stuff like that. I think people who want to build in it, they have to be knowledgeable and face a formidable task. Jim's much more knowledgeable about it than I am because he's played so many of the BioWare games, and that's where they're set, but, you know... It's a task, I think.
Right. So I guess this next question is for Jim. You're an author outside of NWN. Are there any differences in writing for Neverwinter Nights versus novels?
Yeah, there are many similarities and many differences. It's one of the reasons I love to do it. That in Neverwinter Nights, what you have to figure out is how to tell a novelistic sort of story, but not tell it in any sort of a linear way. Meaning you're going to be writing conversations that are not one line through the dialogue. There'll be several paths through the dialogue, but every path has to achieve something like the same end. And the same thing about the story. People are not going to do the story in the same order, but at the end of the thing, they've got to come away with some kind of cohesive impression that's like a novel. In some ways, it's like a novel blown up into another dimension. It's sort of squared or something like that. That's what's fascinating to me about it, because it's got a lot of the same strictures, but it's got also a lot of the same problems.
Right. If you've listened to any of our past podcasts, I think we had a series on storytelling and NWN, and really, you know, Neverwinter Nights is storytelling based. So,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Now, what made you three decide, you know, to include, you know, a little bit of, say, risque storytelling into the module, and like, how really, like, in-depth does that go?
What are you thinking about when you're talking about risque? You can give me an example.
Well, you have, like, you know, in the...
stuff.
Yeah. Well, in the beginning, you have the option to, you know, either include or exclude certain content as far as,
oh, that's
you
right,
know, straight
that's
or gay,
right.
That type of thing.
Well, one of the problems I thought we had to solve if we were going to do a gay mod was to figure out how to let people play it without dealing with the gay stuff if they don't want to, because, you know, frankly, I don't like dealing with romance stuff if it's done the wrong way in a mod and I just want to turn it off. And I thought, well, why not just do this so that you can turn these things off if you don't want to play with them? It's easy enough to do, and so that's why I thought I would do it.
Now, were you like the pretty much the entire proprietor of that spot of it, or didn't you
know
Maddie and Jeff?
Maddie helped me with the flirting system in terms of putting it into the game, but I basically developed it myself. That piece was fine. And it was tough to work out, but it turned out to be really simple. I'm thinking about packaging it into a hack or an ERP or something like that and just putting it on the vault and saying, here's a flirting system that you can turn on and off. Because it's a really useful little thing. It enables all the flirting that we do, not just the gay and the straight plot lines, but it enables all the rest of the flirting, which has been really fun for people.
It's a lot of fun to write flirting conversation, got to say. And that's been a pleasure. So I think that a lot of people enjoy that part of the module, and I enjoy it when I play.
Yeah, that was actually one of my favorite parts.
Jim wrote the vast amount, but I did a lot of the stuff in Girls Town and in Mortropolis.
Madeline did about half the flirt conversations. I think that's probably about right. I did the other half, but they're mixed in with other conversations, so it's really hard. I can look at some of these conversations now, and I can't remember who wrote what, which is a good, you know, that's a good sign that our styles blended really well, and yet there's a difference to what Madeline writes and to what Jeff writes. Jeff's got some more of his scholar writing to do, but the stuff that he did I thought was hilarious.
So you're saying that Jim and Maddie are the ones with the dirty minds then?
Yeah, we're the dirty money. We like innuendo. We don't like outright, oh, your arms are so big, massive golden hair kind of flirting.
Although,
hello, buxom barmaid.
if you ever do go into the arcade in... oh my gosh, in Gravitas. If you ever go to the Gravitas Arcade, Gillies, and you play the slots and stuff, you will end up with, if you get this particular slot, you'll end up with a skin that will make pixies follow you around, doing my version of what I think about the usual, oh, you hulking hero conversation in modules. It's so annoying. It's really funny. But, of course, you might get instantly killed, so I don't know that a lot of people actually end up playing that game.
Now, this next question is for Jeff. Can you tell us a little bit of the inspiration behind the music for Citadel?
I saw that question on the list, and I'm wondering what you mean by inspiration. I mean, there was, once we decided to do original music, we sort of had to sit down at the computer and do it. So necessity was one inspiration, but do you mean what kind of music I like to listen to, or?
Yeah, sure, influences, whatever, yeah.
Well, I'm a big fan of Brian Eno, listening to a lot of Pixies, Radiohead, earlier stuff, like old Genesis and stuff. And I, as far as music written specifically for games, I really sort of admire the Icewind Dale score. Yeah. Look at all this friggin' snow. Da-da, you know. So those are some of the likes. And as far as what inspired the actual execution, we sort of sat down and we knocked out tracks, and then we got busy editing and get rid of the stuff that's not so good. With MIDI editing, you can slide notes around if you didn't play quite the note that you wanted to. There was a lot of that. The pieces had to meet the approval of all three of us.
Sing a couple more of the songs that you used. No, seriously.
I was singing the main theme from Icewind Dale there, putting words to it, which it doesn't really have words.
Yeah, most of it is just, I didn't think I heard a single word in any of the music.
Okay. Well, in the Underground Disco, Jim has some vocals. So that's Jim you hear. That's at the nighttime, I believe. If you go in there at night, I think you hear some of Jim's vocal.
There's a night and a day version in there, and there's a little bit of me in the song, not much. We have a vocal version of that song, but we haven't finished it yet.
It's pre-release.
So you don't want to y'all don't want to sing it for the first time here?
Well, Jim would be doing the lead, so I'll leave it up to him.
I'm going to have to turn that down.
Okay. I tried times.
Unless I can run upstairs and have a quick shot of scotch.
Just one?
Oh, I'd probably go further since y'all can't see.
I have a bit further about the music, actually, as far from our point of view, which is that we wanted to make sure that the music kind of indicated to people that they are in a different sort of place than the usual kind of medievalish music. And it establishes that there's something else going on than that sort of thing. So that was a consideration. And one reason why being able to do it ourselves was so good and so helpful.
Yeah, what I really enjoyed about the music was that it could that every single place that I went in the module, there wasn't a place where I thought that the music was out of place. That was really, really well done. You can really tell that you guys have been doing this for a while.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time on that. We juggled music around. Madeline finally took that over, and she and Jeff worked that out between them when things got down to crunch time when we were trying to actually release the thing. But we all talked about it and went through a lot of the areas actually to listen to the music while Madeline walked around in them so that we could see how they fit.
And I did a vast amount of walking around.
Yeah, I'm finding doing that as well. So the next question is for Maddie. So you recently joined the Builders Project, and can you tell us a little bit about the project and any other maybe side projects that you're working on?
Well, actually, I've been part of the Builders Project for quite a while now. They just gave me sort of credentials, I guess. As far as the Builders Project itself, it's a really wonderful, wonderful guild. Folks there are amazingly helpful. When we've had questions about stuff in the module, I've been able to post them there, and people have been really great about responding. And I recommend that all builders, join and take advantage of that, because it's very, very, very handy and nice. Personally, right now, I'm still working on the Evil Path with Jim, and I'm doing some stuff for Alexander for Blades of Netheril, which I'm really so happy he decided to go ahead and do it in Neverwinter Nights 1, because we did a lot of really great stuff, and I was thinking it wasn't going to be around, but now it is, so that's happiness. And trying to put some 169 content into the Builders Project group module. It's not a group module exactly, although we sort of are trying to do that a bit, but I'd like to be able to get that done and get that social module back online. If Gallup can figure out how to host it again, that would be great.
Now, are you working on the Karina Krakona Rising redo as well?
I am.
As CEO of
yes.
the guild.
Yes, I'm doing just a bit for that. Doing a rogue hench person and doing some area building and stuff like that. But it's a little sort of sideline thing as far as that goes. We're just too busy in Citadel for me to be focused anywhere else, and I really need to paint more and get off the computer. So.
Now, how about you, Jim? Do you have anything side projects going on at all?
As soon as I can get clear of the evil path, I'm going to go to work with Zoltan Sub-Basement on some of the stuff he's working on. I missed the chance to work on his redo of TH1, but we've got TH3 in the works, and we've got another project of his in the works. Plus, I'm going to be doing, I've got my novels that I've got to keep working on. I've got a couple of books. I've got a book that's just coming out, actually, a collection of short stories. So those are my projects for the fall. That and getting my movie out. I have a movie of one of my novels that's coming out in the fall or the spring.
I see. Which novel is that?
It's called Dream Boy.
It's really a nice movie.
Yeah, we saw it here a few months ago. So I'm going to be busy, I hope. Plus, I'm completely being eaten alive selling hotties on Facebook these days. I'm a hottie merchant.
And this next question is for you, Jim. How different is it working with Maddie and Jeff versus Zoltan Gonda, aka Sub-Baseman?
With Zoltan, I'm the writer, and he tells me what the story is. We do collaborate on the story, and we negotiate on it, but we negotiate on the story parts that I'm working on. But in terms of the story overall, he's the boss. He's the lead designer. It's a different role, and I enjoy it because it's more relaxing. All I've got to do is write this stuff, and then I'm done. Now, when I'm working with Madeline and Jeff, whatever we're doing together, and so we're all kind of lost in it together, and that's the way of it.
And for all of you, what do you guys think about the new 169 content, and how has it been, beneficial or difficult in integrating in the Citadel?
Well, I really like it. I've still got a ways to go as far as making sure that everything looks pretty and nobody's got a tail on their heads that looks like a horse or anything. And I love the new tile sets, and I'm trying to build our new areas, which we do need a few, and take advantage of those, using those. So I'm pretty gung-ho about it and can't wait till CEP 2.2 comes out, actually. And there's yet more shiny things to play with.
The only problem I have with it is the horses. I don't really want horses in my mod, but I'm sure I'll like them later on. I've never been a big fan of the notion that you needed horses in these worlds, because I don't know what you're going to do with them except get off and on them. Talk to them, teach them to fly, something like that.
Well, there's also, there's mounted combat and mounted archery as far as feats go, so you can, beat the heck out of people while riding your horse, too. So it's actually really neat.
It is really neat, but it's not like Citadel is really a city module. It's not like there's vast expanses of space, all that many places where a horse would be useful, and taking one down into a dungeon seems kind of silly.
Yeah.
So
true.
It there's not really a place for it. I'm trying to get them into the Builders Project module so I can learn how to do that. So I'll know how if we need to do it, but I just can't see them in Citadel.
Yeah,
I'd have to agree. I also thought of another question, and Citadel is just really, really nonlinear. Was that on purpose, or did that kind of just work out that way?
It was absolutely on purpose. And it's always good to hear that it feels nonlinear, because to me it's quite linear. It's just that I split the story up into three different lines and I interrupted them at different points so that you can't really see the line, right? So for me, that was a better solution than to do a totally open story where you really just have to happen across the plot. You know, I wanted a story where I could give a good bit of guidance, but not insist that the PC do everything in the same order all the time. And that seems to have worked for people, because the response has been that it's very, very nonlinear. But again, it's one line broken into three. That's the best way to describe it. And when I came on that structure, that was when I finally understood how to finish the thing. I could finally see how the structure of the mob was going to work. Before that, I was kind of poking around thinking, I'm not getting it all. I'm not seeing it in my head. But when that notion of how to structure it came to me, then it started to fall together. It's easier to work with that kind of structure than a completely non-linear story, I think, because the scripting on that's got to be a nightmare.
Yeah, like the persistent world type, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we really appreciate you guys coming and talking with us today. And once again, congratulations on your double win with the Academy of Modding Excellence Dragon Award for 2007. Any parting words that y'all might want to have for the community, or thank yous to the Academy or anything?
We truly, truly appreciate the work that the Academy members do. It's really important that there be another way of providing distinction to mods than the Mod of the Year contest and the ratings. So this is a really important function. I'm actually looking at stuff that Ben sent me and thinking about joining if I really do think I've got the time to do it. I think it's important.
Well, thank you very much. It's nice to know that we know all our hard work doesn't go to waste.
I know. I think this will just get bigger and bigger over the years too.
Definitely. Well, thanks to you guys, to the Academy. It's great. It's really wonderful. And we're so glad you do such good work. And it's a lot. There's a whole lot of reviewing. And I'm very appreciative of it, especially after looking at the stuff Ben's sent. It's phew. Also, I wanted to thank Zoltan and to thank Gallup for their help. They helped us a lot. And to thank our players and test players, because they have been amazingly helpful to us and to each other, and we really appreciate it.
And they're still going to have to be, because we're not out of the woods yet.
Exactly. So we want to make sure that they stay happy and engaged, because we really need them.
Jeff, any last tunes? Oh, I mean, any last words?
did ditto to the above, and thanks for the nomination. Maybe next time I'll win something.
Yeah, it is definitely worth mentioning that Jeff was nominated for Best Sound of Music for the Citadel.
Oh, yes. Okay, well, thank you all.
Sure. It was a pleasure.
Well, it was fun. Thank you.
Go out and play Citadel. If you haven't played it, shame on you. And vote on the poll.
And we're back.
So that was a pretty good interview, Skunk. It was interesting to listen to the Citadel on about the longest mod in the history of NWN.
I'm eventually going to end up getting to play that.
It's going to take you a while. We've actually got quite a few interviews in the pipeline now, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Okay, we had Citadel this week.
If you folks checked out the front page of the Vault recently, they're talking about the Hero Stone by Poetic Colossus. We already scored an interview with Matt Diller, a.k.a. Poetic Colossus. And he talks about the Hero Stone, Persistent World, and his work that he did at Obsidian Entertainment.
And we're also going to have Axe Murder. He also won an AME award. We'll have him on an upcoming show as well. He's our resident scripter and all-around community contribution winner.
Community madman, that's what he likes.
And we also, you did, Skunk, you and Sir Chet over at the AME cornered Wayne Schlegel, Wayne, however you say his last name, Schlegel.
Wayne Schlegel.
Schlegel.
Schlegel. There you go.
He's officially butchered. Who else? And there one more that we had in the pipe?
The Community Creature Pack.
Wow, that's cool. We'll have them on an upcoming show as well. All right, so lots of good stuff to look forward to, everyone, so I hope you will join us again. But for now, that's the end of episode 71. So until next time,
get in game
and level up, level up, level up, level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2008.
Goblin ghosts, goblin sharks coming to eat ya.
Hello, this is Skunking, a.k.a. I need a new alias. Makes me want to eat chicken.
It does?
Yeah. Raw.
Ew, gross.
Mm-hmm. They were pretty beautiful weapons, indeed.
Well, they were shields.
Edit that out.
They were pretty... Let's try that again. They were pretty beautiful what?
Edit that out.
Now we have, for your listening pleasure... Okay.
If you're looking for trouble, you came to the right place. If you're looking for trouble, just look right in my face. I was born standing up and talking back. My mama was a green-eyed succubus because I'm evil. My middle name is Misery. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm evil. So don't you mess around with me. You feeling it, Trey? I never looked for trouble, but I never ran. I don't take no orders. No kind of man.
Oh, baby.
Made out. Uh-huh. Less blood and bone. But if you're gonna start a rumble,
yeah,
don't you try it all alone. Because I'm evil. My middle name is Misery.
Well,
evil, baby. So don't you mess around with me. I'm evil, evil, evil as can be. I'm evil, evil, evil as can be. So don't mess around, don't mess around, don't mess around with me. I'm evil, evil, I am evil. I'm evil, evil. So don't mess around with me. Oh yes, I'm evil, I tell you I'm evil. So don't mess around with me. Yeah.